This first part's a little bit of a summary of where we've already been the last few weeks with the messages on healing. It's here's what I say. When Jesus, but it's from the Word of God, when Jesus blotted out our sins, nailing them to the cross, Satan and his demons lost their right to touch us. And a lot of Christians don't understand that. We do not belong to him anymore. Satan and his demons lost their right to place their curses on us because we have been redeemed from sin and his curses. Therefore, we are now the property of God. When you realize you're the property of God, then you'll start telling the devil he cannot touch you. Can you say amen? And now don't misunderstand. He can touch you, but not legally. He doesn't have a right to. But Jesus clarified that by saying the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You may know who you are, and the devil knows who you are, but you have to use your authority to stop him. Can you say amen? Amen. That's why this is so important. You have been redeemed from the curses, but you need to know it. I was born again, knew Jesus Christ, but I didn't realize that I could rebuke the curses until I was in my 30s. Strep throat kept me down about all winter long and had high fevers. And even in seminary, I spent much of the time in infirmary trying to conquer that strep throat. It may not sound too serious, but that stuff can kill you. And so I lived off of penicillin. Thank God for medicine, or I might not be here. And that stuff really helped me. 1 Corinthians 6:19 really lays it out. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. How many already knew that? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Say, I'm not my own. A lot of times we don't really get that. And when we say that, we need to know it means we serve him and obey him. We do not belong to us. We belong to him. And that has some real benefits if you really believe that and practice that. Make sure you know who you are, that you're his property, for we are bought with a price. Say, I'm bought with a price. I've been paid for by blood. I'm covered in the blood by faith. And Satan can't touch me legally. I have authority to stop him. Satan, stop right there. You don't tell me that at work, because I work it every day just about. You see, we are bought and paid for by blood. We are the property of God. Satan has no legal right to touch us. We are God's property. Jesus redeemed us from the old slave master. That would be the devil. Hey, well, you won't admit it or not. There's a time you served him and you lived for him and you did what he inspired you to do. But you're born again. You're a new creation in Christ. You've been bought and paid for. You need to understand that. You don't belong to him anymore. Well, why does all these bad things happen? Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we have to stop him. Well, God, why don't you do something? The devil's just beating the daylights out of me. If you have been redeemed from the curse of the law and you've been given authority, why don't you do something? Now, this message can save your life, or you can just ignore it. People have been ignoring me in Knoxville for 45 years, almost. November 16th, will be 45 years. Jesus redeemed us from the old slave master. We now have authority over Satan and all his curses. Do you think Jesus was joking when he said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, to wall the prayer of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you? He did not say that to the 12. He said it to the 70, which were just a bunch of soul winners he sent out. They were not part of the apostles. See, we get hung up on this thing of the apostles and disciples had all of the authority. Not so. They tried to cast a demon out of a boy and couldn't do it. And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And he said, because of your lack of faith. So they couldn't work miracles either until they became believers. It's the believer. He that believes on me, the works that I do. Can you say amen? We can rebuke Satan because we are not his. And when I realized that I had authority over the devil and the Lord wanted me health and well, I was believing I was suffering for Jesus. And all I was doing was let the devil beat me up, that's all. And then 47 years ago, when the Lord gave me this revelation, I began to rebuke the devil. And I haven't missed preaching for one time in 47 years for being sick, because of being sick. Not one time. How many preachers you know can say that? Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not bragging. I have nothing to do with it. God just gave me that revelation, and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Can you say amen? Rebuke the enemy when he comes against you. You see, we can rebuke deadly storms that might sink our boat. You know, you may feel like you're in a terrible storm right now. We'll take authority over it and believe God to deliver you. And, of course, you pray. You ask him to deliver you. Ask him to heal you. But at the same time, you need to rebuke the devil yourself. You don't have to believe that, and you don't have to do that, and you don't have to be healed and delivered either. You need to do what the Word of God says do. If he gave you authority, he wasn't joking. Jesus said in John 14:12, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he, she will do. Can you believe Jesus? Yay. I'm really fired up a little bit right now because I'm really mad at that lying devil. For what he did to Stephanie. If he showed up in person, I'd try to rip his head off. Listen, we can get the victory we're going to. Amen. Listen, get with it. Say amen. Amen. Okay. Get mad at the devil. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Believers can still do the works that Christ can do. It doesn't matter what all the preachers say. They're wrong. What Jesus said is right. He, she that believes on me, the works that I do, he, she shall do. Didn't say apostles. As I said, the apostles couldn't do anything until they became believers. It's the believer. And you become a believer by hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God and doing what the Word says. Meditate therein day and night. If you do not obey God and meditate in God's Word day and night, how do you expect to receive anything? We have to obey God. And if nothing else, remember a couple of scriptures and just quote them all day long. Same too. Okay. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in that passage, it goes on to say, how can they hear without a preacher? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preached Word of God. These scriptures I'm giving you right now are anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit because they've been preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if one grabs you, you grab it back, because Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. What does that mean? It means when you hear the Word of God, it produces spirit and life in you because it's anointed of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, you can preach it to yourself, and you are told to meditate therein day and night, but there is a special anointing on the preached Word of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says, confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word with signs following. When we preach the word, teach the word, speak the word, God wants to confirm that word with miracles. That's what he did then. And he's been doing it in his church for years, but most Christians don't see that miracle part because they've been taught it has passed away. And you and me, we got to decide, are we going to believe Jesus or believe preachers that stay sick all the time? Who are you going to follow? Somebody that believes the Word of God and they are healthy and well, or someone who's sick all the time? And a lot of times people who do not believe God, they have all kind of health problems, and then they have to make up all these reasons why it's God's fault. And people talk about Job. You know, God rebuked Job. And he says, why? He says, you're blaming me for things you have allowed. Read it. He said, you're blaming me for all these bad things that happened to you, and it's really your fault. God put it right back on him. And that's what we do today. Well, it's God. It's not God's will for me to be healed. He's put this on me to teach me something. That's not true. My Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. He's still doing that. But you got to believe him. How many times did Jesus say, according to your faith, if thou canst believe, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. He demanded faith then. He demands faith right now. Faith in who? Barry Coverson? Billy Graham? He's gone. Franklin Graham? Your faith has to be in one person, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. I promise you, he wants to confirm his word with signs following right here, right now, and in Knoxville, Tennessee. The New Testament church, not just the 12 apostles, continued to preach the truth of God's word with great signs and wonders after Jesus Christ went back to the right hand of the Father. Signs and wonders confirm the preaching of the word. Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let me say, we must pray the prayer the apostles prayed. Now listen to what they prayed. Peter and John had been really persecuted. They went back and told the other disciples, they got together, and here's what they prayed. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what they prayed, and that's what God did, and we need to be praying the same thing, that God would stretch forth his mighty hand and enable us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons and devils, every believer, every one of us. See, God doesn't just want to anoint me to heal the sick and do great things. He wants to anoint your hands to do exactly the same thing. And it's and by stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. What's the name? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What did they pray for? They prayed for miracles so that people would know what they're preaching is true. How does anyone know our message is true if there's no miracles to back it up? They knew they were to continue the works that Jesus did, so they prayed for them and they got them. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. They became believers, and men, the miracles started flowing when they asked for them. They asked for them. Their prayers were answered. Acts chapter 14, verse 3, y'all paying attention? Is this good? Is the word good? You know what I'm doing? I'm just reading the Bible. I'm not really even preaching. I'm just reading the Bible. I found out if you read a scripture and stop and yell for a few seconds and go to another scripture, people think you're preaching good. Acts chapter 14, verse 3, Paul and Silas, that's who this is, speaking boldly in the Lord who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Paul and Silas, when they laid their hands on people, God worked miracles through them. They weren't working the miracles, but when they became his instrument and touched them, Jesus Christ placed his hand on top of their hand and he worked the miracle. He wants to use us as instruments. He says, well, I can't heal anybody. You got that right. But when you pray and believe God, his hand would become, your hand would become his hand extended, and he'll heal people. There was a guy here in this church in the very beginning. One of the very first people came to this church, Bill Walker. He was a singer. He could sing. He sang about every Sunday morning. He was anointed, and he was a man of God, but he's a businessman. He wasn't a preacher, not in any form. And as a businessman, when he'd come in contact with sick people, he'd lay hands on them, and they got healed left and right. I mean, he had some great miracles. He wasn't a preacher, just a believer. He said, Pastor, why don't you go to the hospital and help me pray for this lady? He said, she's got cancer, and I'm believing God to heal her. I went with him, and my faith wasn't up, but his was. He laid hands on that woman with cancer, and God healed her. Amen. Bill Walker, just a businessman. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then you'll never ever have to worry about it happening to you. Because Jesus said, accord your faith. The Lord works miracles by our hands, and he worked miracles by their hands. You see, they were not of the 12 apostles. Paul and Silas and Barnabas were not of the 12 apostles. Amen. And they're doing all of this work. They were not of the 12 apostles, but they were granted signs and wonders just like the 12. Why? Because they had the same Holy Spirit. And they had the same name. The Holy Spirit responds to the name of Jesus. When you're operating in that name, he responds. Try using your name, it's not going to work. Or the pastor's name, it's not going to work. Romans chapter 15, verse 19, St. Paul says, "In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Paul says, "I have preached with power, accompanied with signs and wonders." And the same thing right here. Over the last 45 years, we've preached the Word of God, and we've seen a lot of signs and wonders. Can you say amen? But not nearly enough to suit me. But we're constantly battling unbelief and constantly battling preachers who are preaching exactly the opposite to what the Bible says. And like right now, I keep having to explain things that other preachers have preached that's not right. Like when the apostles died, the power died. When the apostles died, then the Holy Spirit died. They were operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if there are no miracles, you can't be saved. Because the greatest miracle of all is being born again and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. People need to stop and think about what they're preaching. If miracles have ceased, you cannot have the greatest miracle of all, which is becoming a new creation in Christ. That's the greatest miracle of all. So don't ever say miracles have ceased. They have not. And if he can heal your soul, and he changes an old drunk to an upright, outstanding citizen, and put them out there making money and even make some of them millionaires, if he can do that, he can heal your sickness and your disease too. The hard part is getting a old drunk straightened out. The easy part is healing his body. Amen. I declare, I'm getting more amens than usual, but you still could do better. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, the Gospels begin with miracles. Look at this. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard them?" He said this thing began, Christianity began with miracles, and the gospel was confirmed with signs and wonders, is what he really means, and was confirmed by us, to us, by those who heard them. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with marvelous miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The Christianity began with signs and wonders and miracles, and Jesus Christ is still leading, the same leader. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did 2,000 years ago, he'll do right here, right now, if we'll believe him. And it's too late to tell us that's not true, because we've already seen great miracles. I went to the hospital to pray for a lady in his church. It had an aneurysm behind her eye. The doctor said that her eye she would never see again, and the thing might even kill her. So I went to the hospital, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and she had a pillow over her face. She wouldn't take her pillow off because the light just killed her eyes. And as I was leaving, when I prayed, she felt the power of God, so she raised the pillow up to see who it was, and it was me, and I was escorted by two men. I was by myself. God healed her. And that's several years ago, and many years ago, and a few years ago, she dropped by my house at one of our victory groups, and she said, "I just want you to know I'm still healed." And you look at her eyes, you can tell which one that was almost blind. God totally healed her. Nancy Jenkins, I shared the other day, she had a terrible wreck. One leg was totally crushed, and when it all healed up, it was an inch and a half shorter than the other. Remember that when you're praying for Stephanie. And God told me he was going to grow her leg out, and I told the whole church, and the devil says, "You're going to prove to be a false prophet because that leg is not going to grow out." I said, "Well, I know God told me." See, I'm not guessing about the miracles. We've had all kind of miracles right here. And the Lord told me one Sunday night, "This is, you got to obey God, though. You don't get to do just anything you want to do." And he said, "Tonight's the night." I called her up, sat her in a chair right there. I told this the other day, but you need to hear it again because some of you didn't hear me and didn't believe me. Can you say amen? But I put her feet in my hands, sat her in a chair, put her feet in my hands, and good old Stan Watkins, full of faith and a great believer in God, ran up to make sure the pastor didn't pull anything on him. I'm teasing him. He's a man of faith. But he did come up, and I'm glad he did. Chuck came up. All these doubting Thomases ran up. Did her leg grow out? And that wasn't some kind of adjustment of her spine. That leg was actually crushed, healed back an inch and a half short, and it grew out right like that. Now, you don't have to believe a word of this. But if you're going to be healed, you better. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Put aside faith very often is a decision. I make a decision right now, no matter how bad I hurt, no matter how bad it looks, I'm going to believe the word of God. With his stripes, I am healed. I could go on with the miracles forever, but I got to read the word of God. That's what works. Testimonies are good, but you need the word of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts. You see, there was a crippled man at the gate called Beautiful who was looking to Peter and John for money. He's sitting there receiving gifts. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I'm going to show you something here. Pay close attention. Acts chapter 3, verse 3. Peter said, look at us. For he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. This man had no expectation of healing, but Peter was given a gift of faith, a gnosko. He knew the man by the Holy Spirit he probably heard Jesus preach himself. He'd been sitting there a long time, and so Peter discerned he had the faith. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name. Say in the name. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter had a substance, an evidence that God was going to heal this man. And when he used the name of Jesus, God did healing. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Why did he do that? Because he had a gnosko in him by discerning by the Holy Spirit that God was going to heal him. You can have the same thing if you pray and fast and meditate upon God's word. You can know when God is working in somebody's life and be a part of that by encouraging them. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And I'll show you in a minute. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Feet and ankle bones. Lord, we believe for Stephanie Blair Davis right now for feet and ankle bones and bones. Amen. To be healed and made whole in the name of receive strength and healing and restoration. Verse 8. So he, the crippled man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. You see, we don't get to tell God what to do, but we sure can hear from him and flow with him. Well, I prayed and God didn't do it. Well, you need to hear from God. Hear from God. You may not be believing exactly what God wants you to believe for. You need to hear from God. Peter heard from God. I want you to see this. When Peter spoke the word of faith, the Holy Spirit produced faith in this man, and he responded by jumping up. And he couldn't walk. Peter explained what happened in Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes, here it is, faith which comes through him, through Jesus Christ, has given him this perfect soundness. The faith which comes through Jesus Christ. So Peter got that faith, that gnosko revelation from Jesus Christ. He knew the man was ready to be healed, and he lifted him up. Look at that. When in doubt, read the Bible. Yes, the faith which comes through him, through Jesus Christ, has given this perfect soundness and wholeness. He was made completely whole in a second. In the presence of you all. You see, this says the faith that comes through him. And then it says our faith is a result of the Holy Spirit and God's word working in our hearts. I believe what I believe because these scriptures are right now in me and they're working in me. I believe them. You can tell I believe them. Now, tomorrow morning, it may be a little different. Yay. I'm on the anointing right now. And a lot of times on Monday, I get hit hard with something and I'm thinking, what did I preach? What did I preach yesterday? How do you know we leak? And that's why we need to meditate in the Word of God day and night. We need to be constantly rebuilding our faith because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it says to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. What's he talking about? These little fiery darts of doubt. You used to have a little pain here, a little pain there. The devil's hitting you with these little darts. Oh, it's not going to work this time. You're going to die. And he just keeps hitting you. And you got to take that shield of faith and knock all those little darts down. Can you say amen? And what's the shield of faith? With his stripes I'm healed. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now thanks be unto God which always causes me to triumph. You see, you use Scripture as a shield when all those darts keep coming at you. And so when I'm not under the anointing to preach, that's what I do. I get my shield up. I thought you'd be impressed, but I can tell you're not. So he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't say in the name of Peter. He said, the name of Jesus. But that faith was already working in him and probably in that man. Amen. At that moment, Peter had faith. This man was being healed through faith in his name. Faith rose up in me when Dottie had real bad allergies. And after God gave me that revelation on Matthew 8, 16 and 17, that's what the first sermon is basically about. You can go back and listen to it. We had gone from Lexington down to the Foothills Hotel there in Gatlinburg. They've torn it down since. And we were there, and this assurance, anointing came on me that God wanted to heal Dottie right there. You see what I mean? I just had a no-so. You can pray until God starts giving you revelation. And when you operate on that Holy Spirit, faith, revelation that comes from Jesus Christ, like Peter did, you can get a miracle. And so I felt led inside of me to pray for Dottie. I said, Dottie, let me pray for those allergies. She'd kept me awake for 7 years sniffing on nasal these congestions and stuff. These allergies were so bad, she was giving herself a shot, I think, once a week. And it was bad. And Lord said, pray for her right now. I had this, it rose up within me. I said, Dottie, let me pray for you. She said, oh, you've prayed for me 100 times. I said, yeah, but this is different. Amen. And she let me pray for her, and God instantly, totally, completely healed her. She hadn't had another shot. And that was before we came here. It was about 46, 47 years ago. Then I told you the other day, she had a bad valve in her heart around 1990. The doctor said she could drop dead at any moment. We prayed and God healed that valve. She went back to the same doctor and he said, well, I can barely heal it. I guess you can go back to doing it. He went right back to doing it and she never had any more problem with it. That valve was so bad sometimes she just fall over like a dead person. But after God gave us that revelation that healed that valve, she didn't have any more problems. And I know you're not going to believe me, but she's back there taking care of your kids. You can go back and ask her. Okay. In the name of Jesus. You see, it was not just the apostles who were doing the works of Christ. Deacons and pastors also. Acts chapter 8, verse 16. And the multitudes with one. Can I just read real fast so I can pray for people? Okay, I'll just read fast. Y'all pay attention. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, you know, it says he did, but the Holy Spirit did it through him. You got to keep that straight. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. People who were paralyzed, people who were lame could walk, they were healed. Philip was only a deacon. He was doing the works of Christ because he was a believer. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't one of the 12. And then Acts chapter 6, verse 8, and Stephen, another deacon, their job was just to take care of tables. They weren't supposed to be out healing people, but because they're believers, they could. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. But today, preachers read that and they just discount it. Well, that's mystical. You can't really take it literally. You better take it literally if you won't get healed. Amen. If God can use Stephen and Philip, two deacons, I think he can use you. Amen. And that's what this is all about. Not just God anointing my hands, he wants to anoint yours. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Who's the elders? A lot of people got that confused a few years ago, but it's elder is nothing more than a pastor. If you really read it, each church had a pastor, called them elders, but they were just house pastors. All they were. Is any man sick among you? Let him call for the pastors of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. You see, the elders were pastors, and guess what? They were doing the same works the apostles did. Just like the deacons were doing the same works the apostles did. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What shall save the sick? Why, it's those apostles. It's the preacher. They're anointed to do this. Let me read it because you got to get it. And the prayer of faith. Period. Can you believe God that God can use your hands in the name of Jesus Christ? The prayer, and I'm praying that it'll get on you. Can you say amen? And get in you. And you start really believing it. Because you can go out of here and heal, like old Bill Walker, you can get everybody you do business with healed. But praying for him. I don't know if he got everybody, but I mean, the ones God led him to and laid on his heart, he got them healed. I was amazed. He came in every Sunday with all these miracles. It's kind of embarrassing because I think he's working more miracles than me. Of course, you understand, it's Jesus working miracles through us. It's not us. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, does this say the apostles shall save the sick, or does it say the prayer of faith shall save the sick? He will do forgiveness and healing at the same time, and just with the paralytic. You know, Jesus forgave his sins, and then he healed him. You know, he says, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to take up thy bed and walk? And so he commanded him to take up his bed and walk, and he did. So what he's saying is, because his sins were forgiven, now he can be healed. Well, this is backwards. He says, God will heal him and then forgive him. And I've seen people saved that way. They have a miracle first, then get saved, born again, and then serve the Lord. But they receive the miracle healing first. You say he will do forgiveness and healing at the same time. Here, healing comes first, then forgiveness. There the church believes sin and sickness are covered by redemption. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God did. You say, why do you keep looking at that clock? And why you stay so close to scriptures? Because I'll go until 3 o'clock and I won't have time to pray for nobody. I'm sorry, I will not have time to pray for anyone. I know good English, I just don't like it. Doesn't sound good to me. Acts 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Stan Watkins. God did extraordinary miracles through David Blair. God wants us to be able to say that, just like Bill Walker. God did extraordinary miracles through Bill Walker. Folks, we got to realize who we are. Amen. We're bought and paid for. You say, well, I want to get perfect like you. Please. Hey, please. Don't ask Dottie about me, but God uses me anyway. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, and he wants to do it through you. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their sicknesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. You see, this clearly means that all who received the handkerchief or the apron or touched it, they were healed. That wasn't because Paul was such a great preacher. It's because he was anointed, and even his clothes were anointed. Amen. It wasn't Paul healing them. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the handkerchiefs and the aprons. These were signs and wonders following Paul everywhere he went. That's why he was able to preach the gospel and win about everybody in the province of Asia in 2 years. Because he was operating in signs and wonders. The assemblies of God, of which I'm a part, ordained with assemblies, because I want somebody watching over my shoulder. I don't want to be independent. I need somebody watching over my shoulder. But the assemblies of God started out in 1914. Today they're the largest Protestant denomination in the world by far, about 71 to 80 million people worldwide. You say, how in the world that happened? Signs and wonders. Our missionaries work signs and wonders. They get people healed and delivered, and people get saved all over the world. Can you say amen? Amen. And we help sponsor 40 of them ourselves. The greatest thing about Assemblies of God is the missionary program. And the reason the missionary program works is because we believe in miracles. Yeah. Acts chapter 28, verse 8, God continued to use Paul to work extraordinary miracles in this next chapter, this next verse, verse 8, Acts 28, 8. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed and put his hands on him and healed him. He healed him because his hands were anointed in the name of Jesus Christ. He healed them. Then it was the word spread, and it says all the rest of the sick came from all of the island. They all got healed. Does it actually use the word all? But it says the others, the rest. Can you say amen? That's what it means. Irenaeus was born in 125 A.D., and the apostles were all long gone, dead. And guess what? This man says the miracles continue. And you go, but you can do this study yourself. Google Irenaeus. Google the Apostolic Fathers and read them. Go to the library and get the whole volume. It's about 30, 40 volumes. Fills up like two shelves. These people say miracles did not cease. Irenaeus, born in 125 A.D. Wherefore? Also, those who are in truth his disciples, receiving grace from him, do in his name perform miracles so as to promote the welfare of other men according to the gift which each one has received from them. Do in his name perform miracles. Do in his name. Say that with me. Do in his name perform miracles. Look, come on. Do in his name perform miracles. According to the gift. Then it says, for some do certainly and truly drive out devils, so that those who have thus been cleansed from evil spirits frequently both believe in Christ and join themselves to the church. Others have foreknowledge of things to come. They see visions and other prophetic experiences. Others still heal the sick by laying their hands upon them, and they are made whole. If one miracle happened after the disciples died, miracles are still for today. Amen. Nothing's passed away except the truth of God's word. Preachers have tried to pass it away, but it's still true. Amen. And I cannot criticize anybody else because I preached exactly the opposite myself. Years ago before God gave me this revelation. I can't throw any stones at anybody. I can just preach it. Hope that everybody will hear it, believe it, and then they'll have an opportunity to believe God for their own healing. Amen. And after all, I get healed all the time. And so why am I preaching this? I don't need to preach this for me. I need to preach it for the people who do not believe it. Amen. Yes, moreover, as I have said, the dead even have been raised up and remained among us for many years. So if we have a toddler die around here, we're going to raise him back from the dead. Can you say amen? We want to keep our toddlers. Can you say amen? Irenaeus also wrote in another passage, he also said, the name of our Lord, say name. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even now, confers benefits upon men and cures thoroughly and effectively all who anywhere believe on him. Use the name of Jesus and leave the results up to Jesus. Amen. The apostles were all dead when Irenaeus was born, but the believers still had that authority and that power to stand.